God bless you. My name is Luis Marrero. The pastor, you know, asked me to talk about relationship. He's been preaching about it for the last couple of weeks. So before I start, I would like us to stand up real quick so I can pray. So, you know, God takes control over everything. Dear Father, we come before you, Lord. We ask that you open our hearts, our minds, and everything that is said today here. It comes totally and completely from you. That we can learn today to be in a better relationship with you, Lord. Jesus, I pray that today we can be transformed, that we can be better people, that we can be better friends, that we can become better Christians, and that today we can become a better servant to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's work this out. So, relationship. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1 to 5, if you have your Bibles, if not, I have it right here. It says, "And so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom. As I proclaimed to you the testimony about God, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power." Amen. We don't want to talk about an introduction of this. So at the beginning, in this letter, it was written by Paul. And we want to have an introduction, a better time and place of where and why he was writing this letter, so we can get a better understanding of, you know, what his message was. So it was in the city of Corinth. Paul was based there. His mission, the beginning of his mission, he organized and taught in-house assemblies in the Corinthians. And then later on, he moved to the Aegean to work in the city of Ephesus. At the same time, there were other people who were preaching, or they were kind of bringing some sort of message to the church, to the people of Corinth. One of them, just to bring it up, is Apollos. He was an eloquent Hellenistic Jew from Alexandria in Egypt. Extremely good with words. He knew how to attract people. He knew how to, you know, just stand there and then just people just go, "Oh, it's Apollo. We're just going to come down and hear what he has to say." Right? Part of this, his belief that it was that he believed in human wisdom. Basically, that everything you can do it by your own strength, that you don't need nobody else, it's just you. All right, so, which is kind of interesting, you know, because when we go to the letter that Paul writes, then you see there is a big problem in the church, and then the people at the church, they're trying to assimilate Apollos' messages or any one of the other people who came by and introduced their beliefs. And then the church started having some problems between themselves, and then the church started to divide itself. That's what happens when we don't have a church with a relationship with God. Paul knew the problem in the church of Corinth was that they did not have a relationship with themselves. They didn't have a relationship with God, and they were in the same church. They were divided. So his purpose was to illustrate Christ and him crucified. Just a simple message, right? But it's a simple message that brings
the light of God, God's power, what we're supposed to be preaching every single day. Not to ourselves, to everybody. Live that life. Make sure, you know, that everywhere we go, we reflect Jesus. Amen. So, let's talk about that church without relationship. There was this internal conflict, right? They were selecting leaders based on personal preference and what I believe, what you believe, and I believe in human wisdom. And then the other elders were like, no, I believe, you know, in this other type of wisdom. And then I follow Apollo. Oh, no, I follow Paul. Oh, no, I follow Peter. Oh, no, I follow so-and-so. Oh, no, I follow, you know, the news. Just like we have today, right? One of the biggest problems that we have is that when we go to different churches, instead of preaching the base, Christ, Him in the cross, we go to these other churches and they start talking about how if you give some money, you're going to receive more money. Or how, you know, 10 steps to be wiser, and none of them has to do with the Bible. And we start looking at all those things, and then people start dividing, and then you even hear some pastors in some churches preaching and be like, even on the internet, and they say, well, I can vouch for my church. I don't know about other churches, but I can vouch for mine. And then we have this big old problem because we all believe in God. We all have basically almost the same beliefs, but then again, we all divided. We can't relate to other churches because they've been sending some sort of weird message out there. And Paul calls us to understand that in this craziness of people talking all kinds of things, that we should just focus on one thing, and that's Christ and Him crucified. Amen? All right. So in this church of Corinth, you know, there's a superior wisdom going on. Man living with his stepmothers and disputes on official courts, marriage and sexual relationships, struggles and problems. We have eating food, you know, that was supposed to be sacrificed to idols, and you're a Christian and, you know, you're just eating that up. And we can see all those things today in different churches, right? You see people come to the church, but at the same time, we can look at the eating food sacrifice to idols, and then we can look at what are we taking to our life? Where are we intaking? Are we just looking at reading at the Bible, having a relationship with God? Are we, you know, listening to music that is food for our soul, that can relate to God, that we are, you know, having a better relationship with God, or are we just listening to Beyonce, Single Lady? You know? What does edify you? What are the things that you're taking to your soul, that you're intaking to your knowledge, that does not come from Christ? And we have to reflect on ourselves, right? Make sure that if we want to be in a path of righteousness, we got to make sure that everything goes through some sort of inquiries in your life. You're like, is this good for me? Is this not good for me? Is this going to make me a better Christian? I know this is tiresome because even for me, you know, sometimes I just want to sit down and watch TV, you know? But even the TV sometimes brings stuff that is not healthy for us, for our soul. It's teaching us some sort of weird things, so many relationship problems. You go to Facebook and then, you know, you see this picture and then it says, oh, she's a goddess, right? And then when you look at the picture, just somebody who knows how to do makeup. What is this? Right? And then just people, young people just eat that. They just intake all that stuff, right? And then if they can't reach that level of looking pretty, having this makeup, they have a problem, they have a struggle, they're not happy because it's not the truth. The truth would always set you free. The truth will always set you free. And then if we are taking all those things that are not truthful, what are we doing? Are we being released for all the chains that the world is creating? Or are we just chaining ourselves to look just like the other guy? Are we even called to be just like the next guy? Or are we brought to this world to bring a message, to be leaders, to be the light? These are things that we had to ponder on. So what was the root of the problem that this church had? So the root of it was like this division was simply spiritual pride. It's really interesting. Let me tell you about some of the symptoms of this spiritual pride. Fault finding. They have a harsh spirit. They're superficial. People who have defensiveness. Presumption before God. Desperate for attention and neglect others. Right? So when we come to church, or somebody comes to church that they are not a member, they just come here and they see that there's a church that is spiritually prideful, and they come down here and they have struggles and they have problems and they have their lives and all these crazy things going on, and they say, okay, well, you know what, Jesus, I'm going to take the step and I'm going to come to church and I want to have a relationship with you because, you know, I tried everything. Let me just try this. And when they come to the church of Corinth, they found more division. They found more power struggles between the members. They found that it wasn't about Jesus. They found what? That either you had to be with some of the members that you're right, or you had to be with other members, and then, you know, y'all just there in a struggle, and then you're like, well, am I coming here to be saved? Am I coming here to be healed? Am I coming here to be changed? Or am I here to be just like a political party, just to be part of something and not change anything? It's really interesting. We as a church, we have to be the life for these people. We had to heal. We had to guide. We had to make sure that everything that comes out of us comes from Jesus. And what is the message? It's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It's the message. It's the simple message. It's not something that will astonish you. But during this period, these people in the church, when they come here, it was like Apollo. And Apollo stand there and they just were used to this strong message, strong, you know, point, strong, super strong message, and they just love how eloquent things were. But Paul's message was really interesting. Paul was saying, I'm not going to come with all this parade that you guys are doing. I'm not going to come with the excellent words. I'm not going to come with a PowerPoint. There was no PowerPoint back then, but, you know. He wasn't going to go out there and dress right and look good and, you know, just so people look at physically how look he was. So when in Facebook would be like, oh, he's a goddess. No. No. His message was really simple. His message was, I come to you humbled, fearful. Fearful. But with the power of God. It's interesting, huh? Doesn't God talk about your relationship with God? Put that right there. 1 Corinthians 1:10. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, is that all of you agreed with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions amongst you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. Let me tell you something. If you hear somebody say something and it doesn't match the message, it doesn't come from God, because His Bible, His Word, is not going to contradict itself. So Paul's message wasn't going to change. We're talking about someone who wasn't going to change his beliefs just because, you know. But when you come to a church that is founded in a relationship with God, you're supposed to find that we are united in Christ, that we have justification, we've been sanctified, that we've been redeemed. Amen? Let's break through a little bit of how Paul presented himself, and let's just bring those key words that are from verse 1 to 5 in 1 Corinthians 2, 1, 5. 1 to 5. So, how does Paul present himself? Humble, transparent, with a demonstration of spirit power. You know, because him versus Apollo or the other people, it was like he brought the truth and then the other people brought things that sounds right. You know? How many times you go through life and then you hear things that sounds good, that at the first glance you think, ooh, that's good, I'm just going to follow that. But if we as Christians don't go through the Bible and don't dissect whatever that person is saying, it doesn't even match up the Bible, then are we being free? Are we released? Are we having a real relationship with God? I don't think so. You see, Paul, he had the capacity to develop a message, to present Christ eloquently. But that would provoke that they put their faith in Paul and not in Christ. Their faith too. You know, he understood that if it was up there and he will bring this super message with, you know, $3 words, you know, and super eloquent, people would just look at who Paul was and what he was doing and what's his life about, instead of the real message, which is Christ and him crucified. And I think there's a big problem today about that too. We go out there and then, you know, you go to the news and then there's a storm coming in and, you know, the person in the news is like, where are we going to go to, I don't know, Jay-Z or Beyonce or whoever cool rock, you know, artist is up there and talk to us about a storm and what they think about. They don't know nothing about that, you know? But then the people who follow JC or who follow whoever it is, they're like, oh, I'm going to pay attention because it's this guy or this girl. I love their songs and I can relate or something. You see? And Paul understood that, and Paul was like, no, I'm not going to bring none of that. I don't want to bring attention to me. I'm nobody. I'm just a vessel. Doesn't doubt talk about relationship? Being a servant, understanding that we are nothing and Christ is everything. So I'll just put there in red when talk about either himself or something important. And then in blue, which is like the power of Jesus, what was everything about? Those are the keywords. So you see, he says, I did not come with eloquent or human wisdom. He presented himself in weakness, great fear, trembling, not with wise and persuasive words. But with a demonstration of the Spirit power. Can we have a demonstration of the Spirit's power? Can we rest not in human wisdom, but in God's power? How can we do that if we don't even have a relationship with God? How can we preach and don't even pray How can we stand there in the news, for example, you know, and you see how they bring a pastor and they bring somebody else who believe in all kinds of weird stuff and they attack each other, and we see how things are divided instead of preaching Christ and his love, and then people are going to start thinking, oh, Christians, they're just only disbelief, and I'm not going to go there because if they can't understand them, why am I even going to go there? Doesn't mean they're right, though. But our approach. What is our approach? What is Paul telling us? That we have to be in great fear, trembling, weakness. We got to understand. We got to see and look at the words that we're about to say and make sure that those words come from God. Because if it doesn't, we're just going to injure people. And they just, instead of coming to church, they're just going to go somewhere else to find the truth. But it's not the truth because they're not freeing themselves. They just feel that void. They're just still in a lack of relationship with God. Interesting. You see, Paul's character was molded through a relationship with God. You know, Christians, we should inspire to be, I'm just going to put a couple of, you know, pointers out there, but at the same time, if we're going to bring all the pointers, you know, we're going to need 3 days. You see, we as a church, as members, people who were looking to have a better relationship with God, we should be persistent. It says there, in spite of difficulty. Because we understand that Christians, if we have our eyes on God and we understand that we're nobody, that we're just humans and we're just his servant, that everything that we go through, and if we are in his right path, we're going to go through it. And we're going to go through this desert and we're going to come to the other side and we're going to learn and we're going to progress and we're going to become better people. And when somebody comes, we'll be like, I can relate to you. Because I was there. Christ helped me. My relationship with him was the one that helped me to free myself from pain, anger, all the things that hold us. We have to be patient with others. That's one of the things that I have to work more. Sometimes I don't like to explain things over and over and over again. But we have to work on that. Because guess what? When somebody comes to us and search in need, somebody has their struggles and they're trying to get better, you know, and then, you know, instead of us judging them how fast they can change or their growth, you know, we're just supposed to just plant the seed and let Jesus make the grow. We have to be courageous in order to do God's work, because guess what? God will call you to do something that with your own strength, you won't be able to do it. You know? Paul wasn't the handsomest guy. If you go through the Bible, see who he was small, probably like me, you know, probably taller than me because I'm really small. You know, he was bold. He had a unibrow. He has a long nose. His legs were curved. Not the kind of person that you want to put in front of the news to, you know, to talk to you about how great your day is going to be. Right? But guess what? When God calls you and you know you can't do it, but you have a relationship with him, you're in your mind, you're like, okay, God, I can't do it. But guess what? In your name, I will take the first step. Amen? You got to be humble. We gotta understand that we don't know everything. That there come times in our lives that there's gonna be change, that you're gonna grow, that God will reveal through his word something that is in you, and you have to be like, yes, Lord, I need to change. Please help me. Then we have to be uncompromising with the truth, God's message. Christ, Him crucified. And you go out there today from this door outside, people are going to think all kinds of things. They're going to tell you all kinds of theories and crazy things that somebody with 3 doctorates and 4 master's degrees believe, yet they don't have a relationship with God. And they will come to you and they'll be like, well, I don't believe in God. And then if I don't believe in God, then the Bible is just nothing to me, just another book. And then how are you going to counteract that? Or that they believe in another God, and they're like, no, that's my God. Your God is nobody. So you have to be uncompromising. No, this is my God. This truth is never changing. The Bible is good. It was good yesterday. It was good today. It will be good tomorrow. It will be good in 2,000 years. It will be good forever. We have to be ethical. We got to do things that are good. We got to represent Jesus everywhere we go, not just in church, not just dress right and act right when we are at church, but when we are out there, and then we have to control ourselves and control our tongues and what we say to others, and you know how we be hurting others with our words and our family members, or you're in anger with your son and then you said something and then now he's going to carry that for 10, 15, 20 years. My father said that I wasn't good enough. And it was just a word that you didn't meant at that moment. Yet, because it's not true, they're going to be chained. They had to come here to church where we are in unity. When we are in a good relationship with each other, when we are in a good relationship with God, and tell that person, listen, that's not true. You're a son of God. You were called to lead. You were called to do great things. And free it so they can be free. We have to forgive ourselves, and we have to forgive others. I think that's one of the strongest points. How hard it is, right? Forgive somebody who hurt you. Forgive somebody who did wrongful things to you. Probably somebody who took a member of your life away, killed them or whatever. And God calls you to forgive them. You need a big relationship with God in order to do those things. Because you know what? We are sinful people in our nature. We're hateful in our nature. We don't want to forgive nobody. And we're prideful. And we're like, well, he was the one who did this wrongful thing. So why am I have to forgive? You know? And we have to forgive because, not because just the Bible asks you, you know, just because it sounds good or whatever. No. There's something really strong behind that. Because when we forgive those who did wrong to us, then we're not chained to them. So we can move forward to the plan, the things that God had for us, but we were tied to whoever because that ex-boyfriend cheated on me and I can't have better relationships because now I can't trust nobody. And then you come into a new relationship and, you know, oh, and then you start, oh, well, my ex-boyfriend used to do this, so I can't trust you. And then you carry that to that boyfriend or girlfriend, and then that relationship doesn't work because there's no trust, there's no foundation, there's not Christ in that relationship. Y'all not praying, y'all not even looking to do great things together in Christ, and there's no unity, and there's no strong, real relationship between y'all. And then you ask yourself, why things are not going my way? So we need to learn how to forgive, how to forget. If you guys could go to Philippians 2, verse 5 to 8. You see, it says, in your relationship with one another. Have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature a God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearances as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, and even death on a cross. So if Jesus, who is 100% God and was 100% human in this moment in time, and he was able to understand where he was in this part of history, and he understood that what was his mission, he understood it was him dying on that cross, he humbled himself. So who are we to not humble ourselves? To do some introspection else in our lives and make sure that we are looking at Christ, following his message. Hallelujah. So, what is our function? I know we'll be talking about this, but just a little bit before I close. Corinthians 2:12-13, it says, "And we have not received the spirit of the word, but the spirit that comes from God, so that we may know that God has given us, which we also speak, not with words taught by human wisdom, but with those taught by the Spirit, accommodating the spiritual to the spiritual." So what is that God has given to us? He gave us an irrefutable truth that God is the boss in the universe and everything revolves around him, not us. An accurate diagnosis that our true condition is that we have a rebellion against his law that's not just in our nature. The revelation of our current relationship with him, that we are under his wrath. A certainty that what awaits us in the future is just eternal death, but an infinite demonstration of his eternal love, or substitution for his son, a miraculous departure for a bitter destiny, a salvation to all who believe. What do we have to do with that what we have received? Just speak it. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. The gospel, the good news, is God's power for salvation. That is all that our country needs, our people, our family, our neighbors. People who dare to speak and live under the foolish wisdom of God. That's a big problem, huh? Substituting to what the Spirit teaches us of holiness of God, and a specially unique, different community. So we had to accommodate the spiritual to the spiritual, that we know how to discern what is the problem of our country or people, and we can prescribe the solution that is Christ. Let us make sure that our relationship with Christ and with our brothers is one of demonstration of power for the glory of God. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we come to you. We humble ourselves. You already know how sinful we are, how prideful we are, the problems we bring. But we also know that you know everything, and that you knew that we were going to be here, and that we want to change, and we want to be better, and we want to strive to be just like Christ, to do the great things that we were called to do. Please, Lord, allow us to change in you. Please, God, help us to do your purpose. Oh, God, that the things, the problems that we have don't hold us back to what you called us to do. Let us have a better relationship to you, Lord. Oh, Lord, we take this first step moving forward to have what we didn't have before, so we can listen to you, so we can strive to be better every day in you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your kindness, because we didn't deserve it, but yet you gave it to us. In your holy name. Amen.